Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The home of famous.
So much
as
fame.
Someone just yelled at us. We're
well,
live.
Actually, Kevin, he didn't just yell it. He said, "I was listening to that and laughing." It's one of the security guards out here.
That helps Mike's case, I have no doubt.
I think I need to get a toupee.
Now, I want you to get a good wig. We've been talking about that forever. We're live at Globe Life Field. We're going to talk about the Masters, but first, Corey.
From the 817, sorry I missed it, but did y'all say they were handing out red Peagle towels at the game today? If you do come up to where we are at the Comerica backyard, Kevin, we do have, let's see, about six extra ones. But, yes, I do believe they are handing out these sweet-looking red Peagle towels at the game today. And
if you wash these with white socks, are you in trouble?
I would say wash these
your
with
socks are going to change color.
Wash
probably.
These with your darker clothes first, or wash it by itself to get whatever. I just to make sure that no red dyes in.
Look,
it. So.
Crisp white T-shirt.
Remember that
aviators?
Classic. Man.
Classic shave.
All right,
for a man.
Go to Walmart
or a woman.
Let's talk about
or both.
The Masters. I wouldn't have thought that I would be pushing this agenda.
I like this.
And yet here we are.
You're happy there's a rain delay right now? You're like, yeah, delay.
No Masters. All right. So there's a couple of bits of audio I actually want to get to. And first, what is the consensus on I feel like RJ used to be a big Brooks Koepka guy, but maybe not anymore. What is the consensus on Brooks Koepka? Do people like him? Do they think he's a jerk?
He's not well, I think that he's not a likable person.
Okay.
Now, I've watched that golf thing with him, and he comes off better
full
in
swing.
That.
It's a full swing, yeah.
He's not. He just doesn't.
He came off human.
Yeah, he doesn't really care, though. For the most part, he doesn't care about the media. He doesn't care. He's like, I am who I am, and I'm not going to try to be liked. I'm not going to do anything to make myself that likable, and you're going to have to deal with it.
Well, let's go to cut number one. Brooks Koepka was asked, is a 59 doable at Augusta?
It sounds like the course is already pretty dialed this week, but under softer or sort of optimal scoring conditions, do you think 59 is obtainable on this golf course?
Have you played here?
Not yet.
Yeah, I could tell by the question.
What an ass.
Oh, I thought he was going to say more.
Nope.
Okay, yeah, no, I just – and maybe it's just him being, you know, trying to be funny, and that's part of it. Because
no, that's – he was not trying to be
funny. Yeah, I can tell. I have not had the luxury to be on this course because I'm an elite and you're not. That's the – so what was your question based off that audio, Kevin?
I was just –
you just wanted to play it?
That's why I wanted to know what the perception of him was.
I agree with Mike on the – when I watched Full Swing, I saw a dude who was in – he was almost rock bottom. Like, it looked like he had hit rock bottom and he wasn't playing well. All the smack that he had talked before was, well, now what are you? And he's like – he was a guy, Mike, that I could see. He didn't know who he was or what he was without golf. Like, that was the perspective
okay.
I got of him was,
yeah.
I am this guy at golf, and I get to brag about it. I get to talk to my buddies about it. I get to show people up like I just did in that clip there because I'm good at golf. But if I'm not good at golf, what am I? And he had nothing else to go on. So that's what I got from Brooks Koepka. But he's not my favorite. Like, he's not the person I'm out there rooting the most for.
And I don't want you to think that he only dunks on the media. This was him going out of his way to take a shot at Rory McIlroy. He said that he always warms up with odd number clubs. And he goes, I never really look at anybody else or what they're doing on the range. I would say probably the same thing, maybe not the odd clubs. Maybe they go even, like Rory probably goes even with four because that's how many majors he has, and Koepka has five. And so he's like, four is even, but five is odd. And so it seems like he is definitely an equal opportunity. I'll dunk on you if I don't.
He's not
like
really
you.
A golfer. Like, in a way, he's like, I never wanted to play golf. I just wasn't good enough at baseball, so I have to play golf. Like,
right.
I'm good enough at golf to do it. So he's like, I like lifting weights. I like baseball, you know, but golf
hanging
is what I'm best at. So this is what I do. And, you know, in that moment on that show, he was lost. And then obviously, this is when Liv is kind of starting to offer these big contracts. And he's like, screw it. If I'm not going to win here anymore, because he was afraid he was done winning, I'll go take my nine-figure salary
sure.
and go play over there. I would say this Masters feels weird to me, and I don't know if it's just this year for most people, but because nobody's competing against each other anymore, it's weird. I wasn't around when Dr. J decided to play in the ABA over the NBA, but that had to be a weird time for the NBA. We're like, hey, 10 of the 20 best players in the world aren't even in our league.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at in golf. So we get these, and I say random, you get the four major tournaments pretty much, and that's it, where the best players play each other. So now there's not really a buildup. There's not really a rivalry anymore because they're not competing. The best players aren't competing at tournaments anymore. So they all show up for the major, and it's like, well, we can't really tell you who's playing well versus who and this and that because they're all playing in random tournaments now. So I think golf is in a bad spot for the first time in a while. Not only just Tiger, I know he's playing this weekend, but Tiger leaving the sport. But it's in a weird place that now the people who are taking over as the really good players, like, we don't compete with each other anymore because half of us are in LIV, half of us are staying in the PGA.
I think that's a really interesting point. And, Kevin, I think golf is very unique in this. And I think maybe tennis might be unique in the same way too. Except for in tennis, you are literally going against an opponent.
Another person, yeah.
With golf, it is the ultimate me versus me,
yeah.
even though I'm looking at the leaderboard. But if
yeah.
if I'm better than me right now, then my leaderboard numbers are going to be up. But Mike's talking about rivalries and all that. It also is a sport where, because of inconsistency, it's so difficult to be as consistent as these guys, where you can go into a tournament going, let's just see after the first couple of days who the hot guy is. You know, like, let's just see, like, who's about to take it up. That can be, and I think a lot of golfers do get entertained by that. Not as much, not as necessary of, I need Tiger versus Phil. You know, even though that did drive things for a while, but it was for a long time, everybody just chasing Tiger. I have some numbers I can get to in a minute there. It was everybody chasing Tiger for a long time. And now it's just, all right, which guy is going to be the intriguing one? And that's where I find it to be fun because there's a field of really good golfers that can all be the one for that given day.
Who is
– or week.
And if you want to send in your pick, franklfirm.com, text line 877-881-1053. Want to hear from you there on the Twitch, on the YouTube. Who is the voice of golf for you? Like, all time. And it might be Jim Nance right now or whatever, but, like, who plays the soundtrack of golf in your head, like, the announcer-wise?
I've seen Tirico do it a little bit.
Okay.
Who was it,
probably
Kevin?
Probably Jim Nance, I would guess.
Who was it on the Happy Gilmore movies? Was it
Bob Barker.
Let's go to cut number two, because this is his final Masters.
Well, here it comes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
So that was the chip shot on the 16th at the 2005 Masters, Vern Lundquist.
Yeah.
And that's the one that just, like, it's an amazing shot regardless, but then when it hangs on the lip of the cup and eventually falls in, just insanity ensues. I got one more for you if we can. Because
Vern's the voice, dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so this is, once again, Vern Lundquist. This is from the 1986 Masters, and this is the one where Jack Nicklaus won his first major in a while because this is his final Masters. And I'll admit, obviously not a huge golf fan, but this is who I think of as calling these events.
Jack Nicklaus has looked over this birdie opportunity from about 18 feet. This is for sole possession of the lead. Maybe. Yes, sir!
And so it's his 40th Masters. It's the 69th straight year that CBS has done the Masters. And Jim Nantz, among others, were paying respect and saluting him. I just wanted to bring that up because, obviously, we're familiar with Vern, and he's the guy that I thought of.
My my professor at UNT, who was the guy who helped Dale Hansen break the SMU story, he was a phenomenal producer in sports here in DFW for Channel 8, has so much respect for Vern Lundquist. Like, that's his guy. And as much as I respect that professor, like, he was a phenomenal teacher, such great knowledge there. Like, that's where I find a lot of respect because of the way he talked about Vern and just the guy that he was as well. So, yeah, man, that's where I feel when it comes to golf. That's the voice I hear. And I guess it does have a lot to do with Happy Gilmore. It really does have a lot to do with it as much as anything else, Kevin, because throughout that movie, you felt like you were legitimately watching a golf tournament.
Right.
You know, you felt like you had legitimacy there. It wasn't like most of the other Adam Sandler movies where you're just like, what's even happening?
And now they're coming back with
a
sequel.
And you know what his concern and stigma is there? Is that it turns into one of his other sequels. He wants it to be one of those. It was like there was something about Happy Gilmore that was kind of raw and not really cut right. Like, it was all a little weird. He doesn't want it to fall into what all these other ones have.
It's early, but Bryson DeChambeau is 3 under. There's only 23 people on the course right now.
And isn't
now.
That the guy who has, like, a big rivalry or did with Koepka?
Yeah, he got all jacked and everything, and him and Koepka talked a lot of trash together.
Was it Koepka?
What?
Yeah, it was. He's an SMU guy, right, DeChambeau?
And Koepka,
people see him as not likable.
So neither one of them are, like, the most likable people?
I feel like Bryson DeChambeau is more unlikable.
Doesn't it feel like Justin Spieth and Justin Thomas are the two?
Jordan
Spieth and Justin Thomas are the ones that are, like, the most likable.
Yeah. Scottie Scheffler.
Seems pretty likable.
But,
Tony Finau. Tony Finau is my version of John Gray.
Okay.
He's a dude that has all the skill, and then you're just like, but you don't believe in yourself, man.
Do you think he could win? Because the best player to never win a major, you can debate that. Finau has finished top five in all four of the major tournaments, yet he's never won. You like the guy. Can he break through here?
I'm going to have to go and look at something first, because there was during that Full Swing show was the season that he took his whole family with him. His wife's father had died or mother, and so he took his whole family with him on tour. And it was kind of a distraction. So I need to know if he's continuing that trend. Because the dude has all the skill in the world to do it. It's just whether or not he's distracted on the course at times.
It's amazing. I was off. We got here. Well, maybe I am on.
Is this a margarita update?
The slushies are ready. The margarita machines are slushed
nice.
Up. And it's 11:15. So if you're looking to have a margarita at the ballpark, which I think gates are opening here in about 15 to 20 minutes. That's when the rush will come to our table because I'm here.
By the way, we were told by the fan text that it is not a red Peagle towel giveaway day. These are just a special thing.
So that
was just brought to us because
Now we really might get run
well,
over.
You're asking who I would pick. I would say if it ended right now, I'd take DeChambeau.
Okay.
Bryson,
because he's in the lead right now.
Yeah.
Kevin, I got these numbers that
thought there's 100 more people that need to tee off.
Kind of interesting. Jack Nicklaus's 6 Masters wins. Do you know what his earnings were for his 6 Masters wins?
It's probably like $600,000, which would be lower. I mean, look, that's still a crazy amount of money.
$270,000 for
that's
6 Masters.
That's why
you win
the Masters
courses.
Now, like $9 million or something?
Tiger Woods, 5 Masters wins. How much do you think he earned for that?
$8 million.
No, I'm going to say $20
million. $5.8 million
for his man.
8.
That's the purses weren't high.
That's the Tiger effect right there when you see how much the purses have exploded.
In 1963, the Golden Bear got $20,000 for winning the Masters. And that's changed because Tiger drove it. Tiger was the guy that created everything.
And now Liv is taking it to
another level. And now Liv is kind of taking that over too. So it is fascinating the money that wasn't there, the money that then was there, and how are the powers shifted since then.
The Masters last year had a total prize purse of about $18 million, and John Rahm won $3.25 million for winning the Masters.
I wonder what it was in 2019, if you could pull that up, because I know that Liv, it was a little bit longer, but you have COVID in there and stuff where you missed some tournaments.
But it was starting to take a dip too, wasn't it?
No, like, well, what happened was is Liv came in like, oh, crap, we can't hold all the money now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we have to up these purses because they're losing so many people. And they're like, look, what's the point? They're literally going to give me $45 million. I don't have to win anything. And if I win all four majors, I'm going to make $7 million for winning all four majors. Now, you're going to get a lot of sponsors and everything, but literally the PGA Tour is going to pay you under $2 million to win all four of them in, let's say, 2019.
By the way, Tiger could win his sixth Masters to tie Jack, but he's also looking to make his 24th straight cut at the Masters, which that also feels pretty dang impressive.
And you don't think he will.
He's not favored to do it in Vegas. He's a slight underdog to not make the cut.
But that could be a fun thing to keep an eye out on the next couple of days. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll try to squeeze in a little My Buddy's an Idiot, but we will also talk with former Texas Ranger Craig Gentry right here. We're live at the ballpark on 105.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Globe Life Field. We're going to have Craig Gentry on in just a couple minutes, but real quick, we need to squeeze in a little bit of My Buddy's an Idiot. Could it be a one-story My Buddy's an Idiot as we've gotten more information on the accusations against Terrell Suggs?
Okay, all right. I don't know. I did see some Rashi Rice stuff, too, that just kind of falls into it again. Yeah.
Now they're bringing charges up for what happened. So Terrell Suggs was arrested on Tuesday in Scottsdale. The allegations, per the police report and court documents, say that Suggs backed into another driver in the drive-through line at Starbucks, I believe. And Suggs allegedly threatened to kill that driver because of how it played out. So after
he backed into a driver and then said, I'm going to kill you.
So after, it took a second to get there, but after Suggs' Range Rover made contact with the other car, the two men got out and began arguing about whether there was contact made with the car at all. Then the two men got back into their cars, completed their orders, and court documents say that Suggs drove away and stuck up his middle finger, and then the other driver started swearing at Suggs, at which point Suggs pointed a gun out of the window and said, I'll kill you. He said more.
Okay.
But in terms of radio FCC compliancy, we'll leave it with that.
Man, that sounds like a TV show I saw on Netflix recently right there, Kevin.
Is that beef?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and we talk about that all the time. It's your fault. It's your fault. Take the loss and move on. Don't try to kill somebody or threaten to kill somebody. Right now on the line, we bring to you somebody who would never dare do such things. Former Texas Ranger, it's Craig Gentry right here on The Fan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Y'all doing all right?
Well, we're in the home of the defending world champion, so how the heck do you think we're doing?
That sounds pretty good. It's a lot better than what I'm doing.
What are you? Oh. Is that a shot at interviewing with us?
Oh,
I feel like that's a shot at us.
No. I'm talking about where I'm at.
Oh, do you mind if we ask what's going on?
Man, I'm at work.
Oh.
Well,
so
thanks for...
You know, y'all's work's a little bit better than mine.
Hold on. I need to know, what do you do for work now? What are you up to? What are you doing now?
I'm a commercial lender at a community bank in Fort Worth called Vista Bank.
That sounds awesome.
Okay.
That sounds like a lot of fun, though.
It sounds like he would swap places with us at this particular moment.
You're always welcome to come hang out with us. You just let us know, Craig.
Well, I appreciate it. No, it's a good job, so I'm happy to be here.
So, Craig, I was just watching Max Scherzer throw some flat ground work, and I don't have your career stats up against Max Scherzer, but talk about what it's like to face him. And I'm going to guess when he was with the Detroit Tigers, maybe you got a piece of him.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't know if I ever faced him. Usually when a righty came out on the mound, they tried to get me out of there as quick as possible. But if I did face him, it might have been one time, and I would venture to say that it wasn't a good outcome for me.
Well, Craig, we have a guy here in Jankowski who kind of had your role when you were on the Texas Rangers. Can you talk about what it's like to be kind of a third, fourth, fifth outfielder where maybe you're not getting that every day playing, but you have to be ready when they give you that day to play?
Yeah, it's a tough role because you're not getting every day at bats. You're not getting out there every day, but you always got to be ready, like you said. I kind of lucked out in that I've always felt comfortable, facing left-handed pitching, which is what my role was. So it ended up working out where, Murph would start against the righties. I would start against the lefties. And we were on such a good team that, it just felt comfortable going out there and being able to perform. But, yeah, Jankowski's come in and done really well in his role and really provided a big spark for him. Just to get a lot of playing time.
Can you explain to me, as a hitter, the difference between righty and lefty? Like, what, and does it make
the side of the plate you stand on?
No, I get that, Kevin. I appreciate that. Thanks. No, it's like, why do you think, what is it that you see or don't see?
I honestly, for me, everything was mainly coming into me, and I could see the ball longer. I don't know exactly why I saw the ball better off lefties, but I always struggled hitting that right-handed slider, just for whatever reason, everything kind of coming into me, I did better with.
I was always curious about that, and Bochy is pretty consistent with that, where he sticks to the statistics on certain guys. Obviously, Corey Seager's a little different. He's like, I don't care, I'm going to put that guy up at the plate and everything. But I've always been kind of curious about that part of it.
And it might be different for different players, but for me, that just for whatever reason, I could pick up the ball quicker and see it for longer. So, that right-handed slider, especially if they were a hard-throwing righty, I usually struggled with.
Now, our co-host Kevin here, he's been giving Evan Carter a lot of hell for.
I disagree with this characterization.
You can disagree later, Kevin. But for the way he works the walls, and this is a rookie out there still trying to learn all these stadiums. What's your thoughts on how you play a wall when you're out in the outfield?
That's kind of tough because it's such a feel game. A lot of times I would just run full force into the wall, and that didn't usually pan out very well. I think a lot of times you just kind of got to get out there and BP and take balls off the wall, see where it's going to, kind of get a grip of where you're going to be playing most of the time. Especially in a lot of stadiums that don't have the warning track, when it's just kind of turf and it might be, different color turf, but you can't really tell when you get close to the wall. So I think you get your work in BP, taking balls off the wall and just knowing where you are playing in the game and how far back the wall is. But it's definitely tough because each field's different.
Just for the record, I want to throw out, I'm not hating on Evan Carter. All I did last year was ask a question when he made that amazing catch. I was like, did he need to jump for that? It feels like the ball, he was in good position. And now I've somehow been branded an Evan Carter hater.
I mean, it's a valid question, but, the jump gives it some flair and makes it look
that's
a lot
true.
Cooler.
Then you get a bobblehead, too, out of it.
Yeah, I know I've done that many times where it was like I'd made the jump and caught it at my chest, and then as I'm running in, I'm like, well, that looks stupid.
But it got the out either way. That's all that matters.
Yeah, the out's an out, so who cares?
Craig Gentry joining us right now on the Fen. Craig, you grew up in Arkansas.
Did you say on the fin?
On the fan.
Okay.
Maybe I didn't say it well. Make fun of me, okay? I'm trying my best,
guys.
This is why I get branded a hater. I'm sorry.
But, Craig, just like, you know, Derek Holland, there's hundreds of guys who played for the Rangers, did not grow up here, but live here now. Why is it that so many former Texas Rangers, and you went on to play for Baltimore and a few other teams, end up saying, when I'm done playing, I want to make my life in Dallas-Fort Worth?
You know, I can't speak for everyone else, but, you know, for our situation, I met my wife here. Well, I when I got called up, I kind of moved down here permanently. I felt that for my career, it would be the best thing to stay here all off season, train at the stadium, and use all the facilities and train with other teammates. I just felt like that would be the best thing for me. And then met my wife here. You know, we moved up in the Colleyville South Lake area and kind of got plugged into the community and loved it. And now it's kind of, you know, we love the area. You know, we've kind of established our home here. And you know, before we bought our first house, we decided even if I get traded, even if whatever happens, we're always going to come back here. And I think that a lot of players, you know, they come here and they realize how awesome it is being in this area. And it's actually shocking how many different players from all different sports move here, even if they have no ties to this area. And I didn't really know that until I was done playing. But yeah, there, like you said, there is a ton of former athletes that stay here even after the fact.
And this is a question for Kevin here. When you played for Oakland.
You're not interviewing me.
I know, but, well, I'm asking this for his tax purposes because you're a big tax guy.
Yes, I do like that.
When you played for Oakland and the Angels, were you like, man, these California taxes, they're for the birds?
Oh, goodness, man. It's rough going to see, you know, get your paycheck and see half of it gone right off the bat. But yeah, it's expensive to live out there. The taxes are high. I mean, it's tough. You have to make a lot of money to comfortably live out there.
Now we just got this. We just got. Thank you for that answer. By the way,
Kevin loves tax talk.
And that story spawns from several years ago after Mike Trout got his contract extension. All the players in the Rangers locker room wanted to know the details. So I started talking with Shin-Soo Choo, just he and I, and then all these other media people gathered around, and they stood there for about 15 seconds until they realized we were discussing the intricacies of state tax laws, and then they all left, and they were like, that's stupid. I don't care about that at all.
Well, I mean, that is a factor when you think about it. Going out to, you know, one of the California teams, that is a, you know, a part of it you got to consider for sure.
And a good way to get the media away from your locker if you really want.
That's a good point. Just pretend to be talking about tax stuff.
Yeah, because nobody understands it, including myself. So,
from the 214, we got this text in. This is amazing, and I just feel like you should know this. From the 214, we saw Gentry on the name of his jersey in 2013. Now we have a 10-year-old named Gentry K.
That's awesome.
Oh, I got was it named after me? Is that how
yes.
I'm taking it?
Yes.
Oh, that just made my day. I love that.
That's amazing.
Cool. That is cool.
That's a good first name for sure.
Well, Craig, who are some of your teammates that you still stay in touch with, or who were maybe your best friends that were Texas Rangers at the time you were on the Rangers?
So, when I was with the Rangers, I'd say me and Murph were pretty close. David Murphy, our lockers were right next to each other. We used to go to church together. He has since moved up to Argyle, and so we don't see each other near as often. But I'd say probably my best friend from my playing days is Chris Davis. You know, he went over to Baltimore, but we came up through the minor leagues together. You know, I've always stayed really close to each other, and I actually met my wife at his wedding.
Oh, cool.
And so, we're super close. We probably don't, you know, with kids and families and stuff, you don't get to see everybody as much as you'd like, but we still stay in touch and definitely have a close friendship.
Do you have a David Murphy story you'd like to share, like a fun, I don't know, on the plane or in the locker room, a practical joke or anything?
I don't know if I have one off the top of my head. I hate you put me on the spot like that. if you gave me about 10 minutes, I might be able to come up with one, but not off the top of my head.
We used to joke around that whenever he made an awesome play, he'd scream like a boss. And it was just like a joke when we were a weekend show. And then we got him to come on the show, and he actually did that for us. And so we were like, David Murphy's a pretty good guy. We're pretty happy about that guy.
Murph is one of the best human beings I've ever been around in my life. So if anybody doesn't like him, then the problem's probably with them and not Murph.
All right, so I put you on the spot with Murph. I'm going to put you on the spot again, but I feel like this one's going to be easier, Craig. Do you have a Derek Holland story that is fun?
Derek Holland. Man. Oh, yeah. So in the off season one year, he goes on, and you can find this on YouTube, when he goes on to do the weather at one of the news stations. And I remember going in that morning before he did it, we were all working out, and I made the comment to him. I was like, hey, could you try to incorporate that, would you look at that comment? Have y'all ever seen that video?
Would you look at it?
Would you just look at it? Yeah. So anyway, he goes on there, and I watched it, and I mean, he might have said it 35 times. He just abused that word. It was hilarious, or that comment. It was hilarious, and I was just in tears laughing. And actually, that he actually pulled it off and had no issue with doing it. So I was pretty proud of him for that.
Did you know any teammates that didn't like him? Because we found one.
He's a good friend of the show, by the way, so we're giving
him. No, he's a great friend of the show, but we're looking for other people who have awkward interactions with him because I know this was right after you. We had Sean Tolleson on, and it was the most awkward interview any human beings have ever been involved with before. So is there anybody you think we should track down to make it awkward for Derek?
I bet Scott Feldman or you know, might have something on him. I know that he used to call him the Duke of Dallas, so I'm sure I'm sure Feldy would have a few stories for Derek. But yeah, Derek's a good dude, good teammate, and absolutely hilarious. So it was always fun to have him on the team.
Man, we appreciate you coming on with us.
Absolutely, dude.
Fantastic.
You're always welcome to hop on, man.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you guys' time, and thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Craig Gentry right here on your home of the world champion Texas Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
Good one, Mike. Nice work, man.
Coming up next.
I asked for George W. Bush, but that ain't happening, man. I was I guess because he didn't, and they said it's because he didn't play for the Rangers.
Okay, and yeah, they're like, so technically, that's not an alum. That makes sense. Yeah, that really does.
He just owned them for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I'm getting to the point where I'm famous enough that maybe I can ask for George W. Bush, and it would play out. So that's the next level of fame. If there's like, let's say there's 10 levels of fame. That's a lot of levels. I'm probably at 8 right now.
Mm-hmm. Would you say the former president is on level 10?
He's on 10.
Okay.
I feel like all former presidents are on 10.
Uh-huh.
If they're
for
alive,
famousness?
We obviously can't interview the dead ones.
The whole world knows them. Like, it's not
I
just
agree.
Like,
that is true.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, most of the country knows us.
No, my dispute is maybe Mike be on level 8, not former presidents being on level 10.
I feel like at this point in DFW, I'm probably, I don't know, who do you think's more famous, me or Rolando Blackman at this point?
Oh, man, you got to go to the places and ask.
I'm more famous than my first ever Dallas Maverick.
You might be right about that.
I'm probably more famous than Dell Ellis.
Look at you.
And he's a 3-time All-Star in the NBA.
Are you, like, you're friends with Dell Ellis, right?
I wish I was.
Okay. Well, you're so famous, you should be.
Really feels like an off-air conversation. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here. On 105.3 The Fan. Okay.
Eden Denton just said, ask Mike if he enjoyed his older lady fanfare last night when he had the...
We will get to that story later.
People see
I'm
it.
Not right now. Coming up next, the Hall of Fame gives a statement that they definitely, definitely mean after the death of O.J. Simpson. We'll do it next in Gridiron on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Globe Life Field in Arlington. We're going to get to Gridiron in just 1 second, but now the news is coming out that Jordan Montgomery is dropping Scott Boras and his agency, which at first you're like, whoa. But then, Mike, as you pointed out, if you feel as though you're promised or something along those lines, a 5-6-7 year deal, and you end up getting a 1 year deal with a vesting option for a second, I can see how you'd be pretty frustrated.
Yeah, I think that, and here's the other thing too. Scott Boras is so big. Maybe Boras, now that's a big contract. $25 million a year is a big contract. Boras will usually work on those. Probably 75% of Boras's clients he never really meets or talks to.
He's going to Wasserman. Is who he's hired. So a couple of the guys under Wasserman's group, which I think Wyatt Langford is under Wasserman. If I'm correct.
Don't know.
I think when we went to go meet Wyatt Langford, the people with him were like, we're with Wasserman. So
okay.
And he's a very big agent as well.
I think Scott Boras does do a good job, but you have to look over the last few years. If you look at just this year, and you look at Cody Bellinger, did not get anywhere close to what everybody was saying he was going to get. You look obviously at Montgomery, you look at Blake Snell, those were his clients. And then who is the other one, the third baseman, right, older third baseman, Chapman. Like, so he, and then the year before, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on all these, but he hasn't been maybe getting what I don't know what his conversations with his clients, but it seems like there is a promise there.
Yeah.
And then it hits the market of what Boras publicly says they're going to get or want. And it hasn't been happening lately, especially with pitchers. But I will say this. I do think pitchers are going to have to get used to 1 to 3 year deals on the free agent marketplace because of, you just assume now, I hate this assumption, but it's a true assumption. You should make this assumption. I think if you two were general managers in baseball, you'd have to make this assumption. Do we want to go over 4 years max?
Because
probably going to have an elbow blowout in these 4 years.
Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
Now,
good dip.
That was a good dip. One of the news stories of the day, and we talked about this in Crosstalk and earlier in the show, O.J. Simpson passes away at the age of 76. From cancer. This is a statement from Pro Football Hall of Fame President Jim Porter, because, you know, this actually got asked in the Crosstalk. That's why I thought this quote was particularly relevant. Quote, O.J. Simpson was the first player to reach a rushing mark many thought could not be attained in a 14-game season when he topped 2,000 yards. His on-field contributions will be preserved in the Hall of Fame, in the Hall's archives in Canton, Ohio. So people wondering, like, had they scrubbed him out in the ensuing years or anything like that? They have not, and that's a Hall of Fame president saying, and they will not. That year, he was also the MVP.
He, you know what's interesting about that, Kevin? He didn't add any luxury words.
For sure.
To that statement. He didn't add any.
Barry Sanders is one of the.
Yeah,
Emmitt is one of the. Joe Montana. Yeah, you always get that.
Facty. That was very facty right there. Is I'm going to give you the information on why and why we're going to keep the story the way the story is written.
Which, and don't you think a lot of people, well, look, I've already seen some very famous people tweet out some not so nice things about.
Mike didn't tweet anything.
No, maybe.
Mike's very famous. That's why I said that.
Take a look at the Jenner family. There's at least one that definitely. But when you're putting out things like this, I bet you will see a lot of factual information that's going to go, he won the MVP, got more than 2,000 yards in 14 years. Or he was in the
that's
naked.
The reality
of
why
14 games.
I mean, it's the part of why he was famous.
Yes, then he was an actor. Then he was involved
reporter.
In the trial of the century. Like,
was he? Did he add to his famousness because of acting?
Yes.
Yes.
He went to a next level.
Yeah, because he did the rent-a-car commercials.
He's in Naked
Gun. The Naked Gun movies were hilarious.
He got way bigger, and then I have no – it's tough to define legacy, but it feels like from the stories that you see just initially today, most all of the stories include NFL trial of the century.
Yeah, and I know it's different, but Shannon Sharp is – like, he's a Hall of Fame tight end, but if he wasn't doing all this media, we would forget about Shannon Sharp.
In
we wouldn't
heartbeat.
Remember – You'd have to tell people who Shannon Sharp was. People know Shannon Sharp way more for media than they do that he was a Hall of Fame tight end. And I think when you got to O.J. Simpson, different world back in the late 80s to early 90s. But for me, I never saw O.J. Simpson run a football in his life.
I
saw him as a sideline guy on NFL games.
Yep.
I saw him in Naked Gun, which I thought was really funny as a kid. I saw him in commercials hopping over whatever, you know, airport lines or whatever to get some bag to somebody or whatever. Like,
yeah, really the only football stuff I got was reading about him in books about, like, Earl Campbell and stuff like that, where his connections as running backs were.
Because in the 70s, I don't know, who are the other good running backs in the 70s?
Earl Campbell,
yeah.
That's it. There were only two good running backs.
I mean, Walter Payton was part of that as well.
Yeah. That's what you want to say.
He
was into other things, but obviously he died at an early age from cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
So, a
few other quick things I wanted to throw out there. The Browns and Nick Chubb did come to a contract reworking. Remember, he got hurt last year. He had a base salary of $11.775 million. He wanted to stay, still coming back from injury. They wanted to make it work, so he is going to be staying in Cleveland. Did you see Sauce Gardner's top five wide receivers?
Oh, I haven't seen this. This is a dude who goes up against receivers.
Now,
of all time or of right now?
Of right now.
Okay.
But then he also pointed out these are not necessarily in order. This is just the order he said the names, but he said they're not in order. Tyreek Hill.
That's the first he thinks is the best.
Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
Devontae Adams.
All right.
Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb.
Amari Cooper, that's the
That was a fascinating addition.
Amari Cooper is difficult to cover, man. Like he is an absolute beast to cover. His route running is precise. He catches balls that you're. And you said CeeDee Lamb too.
Yes, CeeDee Lamb was the fifth person on his.
That's
list.
A really good group of receivers.
Help me out here. Did we play the Jets the last 2 years? Maybe we did, and I forget.
He might just study film to see how they match up against.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm assuming he has Amari Cooper on there because Amari Cooper gave him issues
in
a game. But, do we play the Jets this year? No, we played the Bills last year, so we had to play the Jets.
We played the Jets last year.
Yeah. So I guess maybe going up against CeeDee Lamb this last year was like, oh, man, he is a really good player. I was just trying to think of if you're a cornerback, it might be tough to say, man, I think he's really good in the NFL today if you've never matched up against him, or you don't like the guy, and then you're never going to put him on a list no matter what, no matter how great he is or how good he does against you. Like, I'm not putting him on the list.
Sure.
Like, was it Cortland Finnegan and Andre Johnson that were always fighting with each other? Would Cortland Finnegan be like, yeah, Andre Johnson, one of the best? Or he'd be like, no, F that guy.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody said don't disrespect Tony Dorsett like that. My mind just thinks of the 80s for some reason, but yes.
That's where I'm at. I think even Walter Payton is a tough one for 70s runnings back.
Yeah,
because
that's my
fault. I would say that, I don't know, I guess maybe it is Earl Campbell and OJ for the 70s running backs of the decade.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to look at the all-decade team, but that makes a lot of sense, and I think OJ Simpson would be very, very high up on the all-time running back list. Rashee Rice, you made reference to this earlier, Corey. They put out a warrant for his arrest on 8 charges going back to the accident that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Rashee Rice being charged with 6 counts of collision involving bodily injury, 1 count of aggravated assault, and 1 count of collision involving serious bodily injury. The chief NFL spokesman, of course, just said, we continue to monitor the developments in this, which that's all they're going to say for now. But major charges ahead, potentially, for Rashee Rice.
All decade, Kevin, in 70s. OJ, Walter, Campbell, and Franco. So there you go.
Oh, yeah.
That's the list.
That I forgot about Franco as well. We're the KNC masterpiece.
Julio.
That ball hit the ground.
Right.
Silver Slugger.
Right.
Won
here.
The batting title here with Texas.
Not that Franco. Coming up
next. Was
at
the Dallas Card Show a few months ago.
We got to go.
We are live at Globe Life Field. Let's talk about the quick start of Josh Smith. Plus, we'll power rank those MLB power rankings. I got new ones for you hot off the presses this morning. We'll do it all next right here in The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.